is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Thy Kingdom Come, Hidden Prophecies in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is The Cathedrals with Sinners Saved by Grace, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me and its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner
Now, it would be nice to help a person who's come to be a Christian, and I think churches should. It's wonderful for churches to have homeless shelters and to go help the poor. But you see, you're just perpetuating their misery unless you give them Jesus. You know, there's an old saying that's sort of old, worn cliche now that, you know, give a person a fish and they can eat one meal. But teach them how to fish and they can eat for a lifetime. Well, we can certainly extend that here. My friends, I'm telling you, God will clean a person up, give them a... And you know, many of those people out there, they have psychiatric problems. I agree to that. They have mental problems. A lot of them out there homeless have alcohol problems. They're just bums. Drug problems. That's why they're out there. Mental cases, many times they did it to themselves. But regardless, there is a cure. There is a remedy. I'm telling you, God can clear up the brain even if you've damaged it from drugs or alcohol. Well, maybe you won't be quite as smart as you once were because, you know, there may be some consequences for you. Maybe if you were a brilliant financial analyst with a college degree, a stockbroker, let's say, and you began drinking and finally you lost everything, ended up out on the street a bum, you may end up just a janitor or something else. I don't know what you're going to end up. But I'm going to tell you this much. If you believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior, you'll never again beg for bread or shelter. That's a promise from God. And I've seen it. I've seen it over and over now since that time I was a young man. So what should we do about the homeless? Bring them Jesus. That's what the Salvation Army used to do. Invite them to come in. And say, if you'll just listen to our sermon and our songs here, why, we'll give you a free meal. And a lot of them, you know, they were grousal. They weren't happy at all, having to listen to a mean old sermon just so they can get to eat. But okay, we'll put up with it. Hey, but you know, during the sermon, God softened their heart and they accepted Jesus. And it wouldn't belong, but they weren't seen anymore by the Salvation Army. Until they came by visiting someday and thanked the people there for saving their lives. Dressed nice, having a shave, saying, I got a job now. God's helped me. Jesus is my salvation, my arm, my strength. Oh, my friends, listen, there is a power in the gospel. And so I'm convinced of that. Oh, it's wonderful to help people. And the Salvation Army, did you know, though, the Salvation Army doesn't do that today? They cannot require because they accept government money. They're 501c3 nonprofit organizations, and they're not allowed by the government to tell a man on the street, a hobo, come in and listen to our sermon, and we'll feed you. We'll give you a place to stay tonight in the bitter cold. No, they cannot do that. They say, come in and get a place to sleep, and we'll feed you. And oh, by the way, would you like to come attend a sermon? And the man says, no. They say, well, okay, we'll still give you the humanitarian aid. Because after all, we're a government-approved humanitarian agency. Things have changed at the Salvation Army. And by the way, I just got a press release that the Salvation Army over in California has decided to start giving benefits to their employees. I mean, their gay employees. Same-sex marriage benefits. As if two lesbians or two homosexual men were married. Well, first of all, what are they even doing having homosexual and lesbians as employees at the Salvation Army? But now to please, they said that the San Francisco City Council had said that they were going to punish nonprofit organizations and churches who don't give same-sex benefits to homosexuals. And so, Salvation Army says, okay, we'll change our policy. Well, let me tell you something, my friends. We're not changing it here because we don't have to worry about that. We're not accepting 501c3 status from the IRS. They can't tell us who to hire and what, who not to hire. But I'm going to tell you this right now. We don't have any lesbians and homosexuals working here. And if one were to show up and I suddenly found out they're out the door, oh, would the government come against me? Maybe. Maybe. But I don't really care. I don't really care. The government can go jump in the lake of fire. That's what I say. I don't want the government to do that, but they can before they're going to make me hire the ungodly to do God's work. Well, we continue on with the hidden prophecies in the Lord's Prayer. The next line, of course, in this prayer that Jesus has given to us is, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You know what a debt is, my friend? It's when you owe somebody something. It is a truism that Jesus Christ paid a debt he didn't owe, but he did it for us, and we owe him everything. And here we're asking him to forgive us our debts. And you know what our debts really are? Our sins. You see, God has given you material goods, and we should thank him. Thank him for all things. But the fact is, my friends, none of us are free from the stain of sin. But we have a Redeemer, and we have somebody powerful enough even to blot out our sins. Nobody else can do that. Buddha can't. Mohammed cannot. Krishna cannot, but Jesus can. If we confess our sins, it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the last days, my friends, we've got to stay close to God, and we've got to keep praying every day, asking him to forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts. And you know what? That's not all of it, though. It reads, as we forgive our debtors. There are people who have done you wrong, no doubt. Sometime in your life, maybe right now you have people at work, maybe a next-door neighbor, maybe a woman at church or a man who used to be a friend of yours. They've done you dirty. They've done you wrong. No doubt about it. They're guilty of it. Well, if they come and ask you to forgive them, well, the Lord says, forgive them quickly. I love Luke chapter 17. A lot of power in it. It says, if your brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. Whoa! A lot of people don't know that. They say, well, you know, if a brother does something wrong with you, just go ahead and forgive him. But it says here, rebuke him. Now, you better make sure that you're not the one guilty. You know, sometimes there's two sides to every story. So make sure that your side is pure and clear. Exercise righteous judgment. Or, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. And what that means is, don't judge another person for a sin that you're guilty of. But let's just say that you are clear of sin. It's not your fault. The other party is responsible and is guilty. You have a right to rebuke them. That doesn't mean hurt them. It doesn't mean take a knife and go split the tires on their car. Now, hold on. You can rebuke in a loving way. I love the old passage in the Bible where it says, you know, that critical words by a friend, you know, to be wounded by the critical words of a friend is better than to be praised by the deceitful words of an enemy. Oh, I'd rather be wounded by the words of a friend, my friend, than to listen to the lying praises of a deceiver who praises me but doesn't really mean it. And so if you're really a friend, you have a right to go to a person and say, friend, I've been wrong. You've done me wrong. I love you. I appreciate you. But this isn't right. Now, you've got a right to do that. In fact, the Bible says go to such a person and rebuke them. Again, I'm not saying, you know, as they used to say in East Texas, get a wet squirrel, slap him beside the face. No, I'm not saying that. No, don't do that. But talk to them kindly, gently, as a friend. And the Bible says, and if he repents, forgive him. But you know, a lot of people won't do that. They hold a little bitterness in their heart. Sometimes they say, okay, I forgive you, but they really don't. They hold bitterness in their heart. But Jesus said, when he was asked, well, how many times should you forgive such a person? He says, well, if he's done you wrong seven times and comes to you seven times to repent, then forgive him seven times. Oh, my. Even seven times seven. Well, 1 John says, for if you forgive men and their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, Jesus did it all for you. He died on the cross for your sins. You're a pretty small person then, my friends, if you cannot forgive those who have sinned against you, even though they ask for your blessing, for your forgiveness. You know, there's a lot of husbands and wives ought to listen to that advice. You think it's somebody outside the family household? Could just mean the person right there in bed with you. The person who has breakfast with you. The person who loves you the most. Your husband, your wife. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, this could have some financial impact too in the last days. There could be a great, great depression in the last days and people lose a lot of money. There could be people who owe you money and they come up to you and they say, brother, I don't have the money to pay you. I don't even have the money to feed my family in these last days. You might want to think about forgiving them their debts, even their financial debts. You say, well, they owe me that. Yes, that's true. But remember, Jesus Christ paid a debt he didn't even owe. The least you can do is forgive your brother. Now, I'm not talking about a reckless person who borrows money or gets your help and then goes out drinking or carousing or whatever and blows the money. Oh, I'm not talking about that. But that has happened to me in life. I remember one lady that Juan and I had let borrow some money many years ago, and then through no fault of her own, her husband divorced her. He ran off with another woman. She told Juan and I, I have no way to pay you back. We told her, well, we have no thought of you paying us back. No thought at all. In fact, we'd like for you to get that off your mind and just forget that debt entirely. Just forget about that debt. You've got more important things to think about now, with your children and you getting your life back together. That debt's long gone. Forget about that. And you know, at that time, Juan and I really couldn't afford it ourselves to lose that money. But you know, we couldn't also afford not to forgive that woman her debt. Well, listen to the next one. You're going to love this. And lead us not into temptation. Now, this is the most prophetic, I believe, statement of all. A lot of people say, well, where's that at? That's talking about sin. You know, Lord, keep us from sin. Oh, no, it's more than that. It's more than that. Listen to this. Did you know that in his letters to the churches, the seven churches, the angel, the Spirit of God, had some things to say that were powerful? Listen to what he said. The angel of the church in Philadelphia had to say from God. And I believe that although this is probably the Laodicean age, nevertheless, there's a little bit of every church age, even here today, and has been in every age and every era. Verse 10 of Revelation 3. Verse 10 of Revelation 3. Boy, listen to this. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. My friends, there is coming a great hour of temptation. It will come upon all the world, the last temptation, and it will try every man, every woman, every child that dwells upon this earth.
And dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.